Take your Bibles, if you will, please. We're going to turn to Matthew chapter 2. Familiar passage for this time of year. Matthew chapter 2. For some reason, when I get a stuffy nose, my old stuttering problem comes back. I don't know why it is. I was kind of like Mel Tillis. I could sing, but I couldn't talk years ago. And Mel Tillis, you know. And I'm allowed to make fun of people who stutter, because I do. But it seems like when my nose is stuffy, for some reason I can't breathe well, and the air doesn't flow like it's supposed to, and so I tend to stutter a little bit. So overlook that for me, please. I'd appreciate it. Matthew chapter 2, if you will. And I think I've given some of these principles before. Quite a collection as we have here this morning, or quite so clear. But this is a typical Christmas theme. But I want you to see some things in here. Tell you what we're going to do. We're going to pray first, because I'm going to read the scripture, and then I'm going to give you some principles from the scripture. You all know the story, but let me bring it back to your attention here for a moment. But let's pray first, and we'll have our message. Father, we thank you for your blessings. I thank you for this time of year. We think about Christ being our Savior. What a wonderful gift. And Lord, I pray that you'll be with us here in these next few moments, and pray that you'll speak to our hearts. I don't want to just fill up the time and say we had a nice little warm and fuzzy Christmas message and go home. Yet, Lord, there's some warm and fuzziness about it. I want us to take another step in our walk with you. And there's a few principles we may hit here this morning that could actually change some folks' lives if we will put them into practice. Simple, yet profound. So, Lord, I ask for your Holy Spirit to move, and we ask in Christ's name. Amen. I've entitled this message, The Message of the Magi. The Message of the Magi. And so let's begin in chapter 2 of Matthew, verse number 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. The word wise men there means, is a word that he uses, magos, M-A-G-O-S, but the plural of that is magi, like octopus and octopi and all that, okay? Magi. It means a sorcerer, but it means a scientist. Back then, I know it sounds weird, but sorcery and science, and there was an awful lot of overlap in some things. I mean, there's things, I mean, for instance, how many people have ever done that little experiment where you take an egg and you light a match or something inside the jar, and the egg won't go, is too big to go through the mouth of the jar, and then you light the air, you light the match, and it sucks out all the oxygen, and it makes a vacuum, and it makes the egg go down in there, even though it looks like it wouldn't fit. Y'all looking like me, I got three eyes. You ever seen that? Okay. And for some people back then, not knowing the science of it, would say it's magic. So there was some crossover. These weren't wizards, and these weren't Harry Potter guys, okay? These were men that were looking to find out what truth is. They were scientists. They were astronomers. They were trying to discover and unveil what creation is. They understood. They knew. I think they believed in creation. And these men apparently were actually wise men. They were wise men. And they came to Jerusalem, and says verse 2, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Now when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. He said, "Where is the King of the Jews?" And Herod said, "Here I am." No. What, the king, the one that's going to be born, where is he? Where's who? I'm on the throne. What do you mean somebody's been born to be king of the Jews? I mean, we don't need any more kings. I'm doing just fine all by myself. And it says, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Can you imagine? When these guys showed up in town, when the wise men showed up in town, it really wasn't in the midst of the dark night, and these three guys walk into town and knock on the door. Now, listen, they came from afar. They came from a long way. You heard about the guy when he was heading through town, and all the Christmas decorations were up. And he went past the one church, and they had three wise men at the stable. By the way, the three wise men were never at the stable. I hate to tell you that. They was where the young child was. But anyway, we put it all together, and be honest with you, the star might have shown the day that he was born, but we know the star was showing over the house where he was, which was a couple years. Anyway, but not to make a big to-do about it. But they were going through town, and all the town had the decorations, the church had the decorations, and they had the Mary and Joseph and the three wise men, and they all were wearing fire hats. And a guy drove down the road a little bit, and he just couldn't take it. He had to go back because he knocked on the door, and sure enough, the custodian of the church came out the door and said, "Well, can I help you?" He says, "I appreciate your nativity scene out here, but why are the wise men wearing fire hats?" "Well, just come from afar." Anyway, okay. Okay. Now, but when they showed up in town, listen, these guys were probably coming from either Iraq or Iran. I mean, really, they most likely were coming from the Babylon area, because that's where they would have gotten the scriptures from Daniel. Okay? So they were coming from a long way. Now, these guys were not just a couple, average Joes. These people were wealthy. They lived off the king's meat, if you will. And so when they came into town, my guess is it wasn't just the three of them. It was a whole caravan. You listen, you don't travel that far all by yourself. You'll get mugged. I mean, you'll get robbed. You're not going to be able to do that. And so the chances are it wasn't these three guys on a camel, and the silhouette on the hill, it's all very romantic, but probably it wasn't. It was a whole crew. They probably had servants, and they had other animals, and they had a caravan. And when they came in there, they had probably had all the brocade and the tassels and the garment with the gold and the scarlet and so forth. So when they show up in town, everybody's going, you ever go through town, all of a sudden you see one of those limousines go by, it's about a half a football field long, and you wonder how in the world they get around the corners. I always wait. But anyway, they come, you got to watch. You wonder who's in there. And so these guys are going down, and here goes all the camels and everybody, and they come in. And I guess they stop at the palace and try to find out what's going on. And so so the whole town was in an uproar about it. Who are the people? What are they doing? Well, I'm sure the servants in the palace, they knew something, so they were going to make sure everybody knew. And so the whole city was all upset because they came looking for a new king. Well, hey, Babylon showed up one other time, decided they were going to have a king. What are they going to do? Come in and take over the place. They're going to take us captive. They're coming here to spy us out. That's what they're doing. So it was all in an uproar. Verse 4. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. I'll get that second. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet Micah, Micah 5, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not thou the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired them diligently what time the star appeared. Hey, guys, when did you see this star? And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, they walk out the door, the star which they saw in the east didn't say they followed the star to Jerusalem. They saw the star in the east. I'll tell you in a minute about how they got to Jerusalem. Didn't follow the star to Jerusalem. The star was a sign, but didn't follow the star there. And when they heard the king, they departed. Lo, the star which they saw in the east shows up again. Went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. I'm sure they did. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. So Herod says, well, I don't know where this baby king is, but you can be sure I'm going to find out. Call in the priests and the scribes. And in the meantime, the rumors hit the city. These are men from the east looking to be king. Maybe they're secretly spying, take us captive again. I'm going to give you some points here this morning, real quick. Number one, the Magi did not start out as followers of God. I want you to kind of put yourself in their shoes here this morning. The Magi did not start out as followers of God. The Magi did not start out as God's people. They were from Babylon. They were about as far away from being God's people as you could get. Now, they were wise men. And they were men who simply studied the stars, the ancient writings, looking for wisdom from creation. They were looking for truth. I think they were sincerely looking for truth. There's some things I'm thinking about here. God is willing to speak to any heart that is willing to hear and seek with all their heart. You say, well, I'm not so sure. I haven't heard anything from God. Listen, if you'll listen to God and you obey what you know from God so far, I think he'll tell you some more. I think they were looking for truth wherever truth may be found, and they found it in the writings of the Hebrew prophets. Now, they would have had some access to Daniel's prophecy while he was there during the captivity, as well as whatever writings Daniel had access to at the time, most likely Isaiah. So they had those writings. They knew that apparently they didn't have Micah because they hadn't found that before, but they knew that there was going to be a king born. Now, this one that would come, the Bible says in Isaiah, would be the light to the Gentiles. Even those that were once Israel's enemies, like the Magi. Now, I want you to understand this. God, listen, God is not just the Israel's people. No, Israel's God. God is a God of all creation. He simply is using Israel to draw the rest of the world to him. Okay? And so he says it's going to be a light to the Gentiles. These Magi most likely came from the same area as Babylon, where Daniel was held captive. I want you to listen to some writings they might have seen. In Isaiah 42, it says this. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth, I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand and will keep thee and will give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the eyes, the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, to them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. I think they had that scripture. They were looking for a light to the Gentiles. Listen, the world can put on a good show, but they are dark on the inside. We could play a lot of games. We could play a lot of music. We can do a lot of things that try to distract us from what's going on. But there's a dark emptiness inside every heart that doesn't have Christ. I think maybe he saw Isaiah 60. It says, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. The Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising." I think that was telling us about the Magi. They were looking for the light. They came to the light. Listen, they didn't start out as believers, but they could see that this king would be a gracious king and a mighty king and even their king. God will come to anyone who will seek him with all their heart. Number two, the Magi became followers by taking heed to the word of God. By taking heed to the word. Now, we just read those couple passages. They had the witness of the word. In 2 Peter 1, verse 19, it says this. Now, they didn't have this scripture, but listen to the principle. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." I think these wise men esteemed the word of God. They weren't Jews. They weren't Christians. Christians weren't even here yet. And they esteemed the word of God. They were truly looking for truth. And I think if you go to the word of God, not there to criticize it or critique it, but to obey it, I believe that God will open up your heart with the Holy Spirit and teach you truth. And my point is this: if those Magi from Babylon, a bunch of Iraqis, can come to know truth, we certainly can. And if we're not, whose fault is that? They followed the word of God. How else would they have known where to start looking for this wonderful king? How else would they know? Daniel 9:20 says this. Watch this. Daniel 9:20. Of course, they would have had his writings from the captivity, because Daniel was one of the higher up, you know. He was one of the wise men, so to speak. And he was like the top guy. So his writings would have been left in those libraries there. Okay? And Daniel says this: "And whilst I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Israel." By the way, that's usually when God shows up. While we're confessing our sin, getting clean with him. Humbling ourselves before God. "So whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord, my God, for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in a vision at the first, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the same time of the evening oblation." Now, I think it's interesting. Gabriel was the one that came to Daniel, but Gabriel was the one that came to Mary, and Gabriel was the one that came to Joseph. The angel Gabriel. Anyway, he goes on and says, "And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth that I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter, consider the vision." This is what Gabriel told Daniel, and this is what the Magi had. They didn't have any more than this. But this is what they had. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision of prophecy and to anoint the most holy. He says, this is what's going to happen until the end of time. There's 70 weeks. Now, when it means weeks, it means week really means seven. 70 sevens. Means 490 years. Seven times 70. 490 years. Verse 25. Now therefore, and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks, that's 49 years, and 62 weeks, which is 434 years, which is all added up is 483 years. And the street shall be built again, and a wall even in troublous times. And watch. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city. The prince of the people that shall come. Now he's talking about the Antichrist. Shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood unto the end of the war, desolation and determination. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Those last 7 years of tribulation. And in the midst of the week, right in the middle, there's 3.5 years, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate. He said, this is the way it's going to work. Now, he told them from the time that they were told to go back after captivity, to go back and build Jerusalem. From that time, we have so many weeks until the Messiah is going to come. And then after so many weeks, he's going to be cut off, but not for himself. As Christ being killed for us, our sins, not his sins, our sins. So it's right there. Now Ezra, they would have had those writings too. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord of God of heaven hath given me all the kingdom of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. So they knew when the commandment was given to build back, to build up Jerusalem. And so they counted off the years. That's all they did. They counted off the years. But then what happens? Numbers 24:17. There was another prophecy. The writings of Moses. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob. And a scepter shall rise out of Israel and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Seth. They put it all together. They said, they're counting up the years. Well, he should be coming. And boom, the star came on time. Now, if foreign men who were not of this religion, who have been brought up to believe in other gods, and other forces can take God's word seriously enough to travel all this way to seek for a king, we should be willing to follow God according to his word. Yeah. They had never seen Jesus. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. 2 Corinthians 5 says, therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. There was no other reason for them to believe in this new king except for the word of God. No one else had proclaimed him king that they knew of. Yet they came saying in Matthew 2, saying, where is he that's born the king of the Jews? For we have seen his star, and we have come to worship him. They didn't say, it's going to sound kind of weird. Was there a king around here? No, they said, where is he? Yeah. We saw his star. They didn't say, now we, You know, we've been thinking about this. We saw this funny thing in the sky. It's probably been about 6-8 months ago, I guess, since we saw it, you know. And we read this thing about, you know, king. We added up some numbers. And so we just thought we'd take a trip over here and see what we might find. No. They walked in, pointed their bony finger and hair, and said, "Where's the king?" What king? The king, the one's going to be born. Listen, this was a tough trip. Now, these were wise men. I know that set means sorcerer, but I think they were wise men. Listen to this. Proverbs 4:10 says this. "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life." Proverbs 9:10. I'll make a comment here in a minute. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." And Acts 10:34 tells us this. "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God's no respecter of persons, but in every nation that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted in him." This is what I think. I think they wanted to know truth. And I think they sought to know truth. And I think they feared God. And God says, you fear him and seek it with all your heart, you'll find him. And God's no respecter of persons. Well, God doesn't know who I am. Absolutely, he knows who you are. Listen, sometimes we'll seek for a little while, and then we'll back up. We'll back down. We'll stop it. And we wonder why we're not seeing anything. You know why? Because you didn't really believe it, because you stopped. Well, he wasn't doing anything. But if you have a promise, keep asking, keep knocking, keep seeking, and you'll find. Number three, the Magi had faith enough to move to action. Extraordinary actions. You know, we say we believe, but then we'll walk out the door and nothing really changes in our life. If nothing changes, then can we say we believe? James says, without faith, our works is dead. They put together a caravan. This was not a cheap trip. It wasn't just an excursion over to the shore for a couple days. They didn't hop in an air-conditioned car and drive over. They had to have provisions for many, many days. They traveled many miles and not really knowing what they were going to find, if they would find anything, except that the Word of God said so. They hadn't been to Jerusalem before. They didn't know what they were going to do. They had heard about it. They said a baby was born. A baby. No wonder when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Ha! Where are we going to find this baby? We see something in God's Word and then we shrug it off and say, well, maybe one of these days I'll do something about it. They saw a king that's going to come and be a light to the Gentiles. The changed life as they knew it, and said, we want to find who he is. And all they had was God's Word. And you know what? That's what we say. Well, all I have was the Bible. I haven't seen anybody else do it. Well, when's the last time you saw Magi show up in town? They hadn't seen it before either. Doesn't happen every day. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. God very seldom does things exactly the same way two times. Because if we did, we would trust in the process rather than in him. We say, well, last time he did this, the next thing that happened was this, the next thing that was happening. All we want, he wants us to take it on his word. Number four. So the Magi had a faith enough to move to action. Number four, the Magi followed what they knew so far. This is important. They followed what they knew so far. They did not have all the answers, but they believed what God had revealed so far. There's a king that's going to be born. We saw the star. It talked about it's going to rise up out of Jacob, which we know is Israel. And so there it is. And so, and he's supposed to, I mean, he's going to set the captives free. In fact, that passage there that they saw in Isaiah was the passage that Jesus said that he went into the temple and read and said, when he showed up that in his ministry, this day, this has been fulfilled. I'm the one who's going to set the captives free. So they had that, but that's all they had. And listen, we want to have all the answers and all the directions and all the ramifications in front of us before we will decide whether we will follow him. Follow what you know to be the true word of God now, and God will lead you the rest of the way as it is needed. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We want to acknowledge him one day and say, okay, to write it all out there, and I'll see where how much of it I want to do. Proverbs 4:18 says this, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness, they know not at what they stumble. He didn't say, he said it shines more and more. Thy words are light unto my path, a lamp unto my feet and light unto my path. We go little by little, and God shows us the next step. We're supposed to take the next step by faith. Now, don't just take a step in the dark and call it faith. Faith is action based on a promise or command of God. God gave them a promise. They said, there's a king. And they said, we're going to go find him. And so they did. Well, where are we going to find him? Fact is, you know, they didn't really have a whole lot of specifics. They went to Jerusalem. Why? It's the city of the kings. And there's a king born. He must be in Jerusalem. I thought they were just going on. I'll give you number five. The Magi were led by God to the specifics when they followed what they knew from the Word of God so far. God led the specifics once they followed so far. Listen, the Word said a king, and so they went to the city of Israeli kings. The ungodly king that we went to, Herod, he was a source that God used to help them get a connection with those that knew the Word of God, the scribes and the priests that were there, even if they did not seem concerned about the Word of God. God used them. He gave the ones who were seeking the information they needed. Now here, listen, apparently this news from the Magi took the whole city by surprise. Herod was upset about it. The whole city was upset about it. Took them by surprise. Well, wait a minute. Why weren't the priests and the scribes looking for the king? Why weren't they looking for the king? They had the Bible. They weren't seeking him. Now, they had the scriptures. They could have made the same calculations. But maybe they wanted to keep their job. Didn't want to say anything to Herod about it. Maybe they had more trust in the monetary wealth of the world than the eternal wealth of God that takes care of the monetary wealth of the world. Maybe they were not in the habit of studying God's word. And it was out of mind until the Magi brought it to their attention. Oh, yeah, I remember that. I read that. And you know what? There's a lot of us will say, well, I read that. Yeah, I did. I read that. Well, what did you do about it? Did it become part of who you are? Did you make your life decisions based on the Word of God? But those who were seeking, they went there, God used those ungodly people to give them the answers that they needed. He said, he's going to be born in Bethlehem, Ephrathah. Now, when they left Herod, the star appeared again. So what happened? The Lord led in a miraculous way, an unexpected way. He directed them to the right place. It says, and when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. Now, I don't know what how this really worked. It almost makes it sound like the star just kind of, I don't know. We don't really know what it was. But it was God. It's the same thing as when it says God prepared a great fish for Jonah.
Well, I don't think you could swallow a whale.
He said he prepared a great fish. There's all kinds of crazy things out there. Maybe you never made one of them. Right? And so listen, God can throw the stars in the universe and put them where they are. He can take one and go. He can do whatever he wants. And so they find the star. And I'm sure they were, because I'm sure they rejoiced. How were they going to find that baby? It was going to be like looking for a needle in a haystack. It was a baby in a haystack, but they were looking for it. Look, you're going to find a needle in a haystack here. Actually, he was out of the haystack. He was in the house by that time. But they probably were not expecting to see the star again. I'm sure they weren't. The star was an unusual phenomenon. It had shown up a year or so around the time of the birth of Jesus, and they probably had no expectation. They didn't say, well, we'll go check it out, and then we'll come out, and the star will lead us to the next place. They didn't say that. They didn't know that was going to happen. They took the steps that they took all the way to Jerusalem with all the great big caravan, with all the hoopla, and all the stuff, and all the money, and all the people, and they went on the Word of God. And God says, they're looking for truth. I want to give them truth. Well, how are they going to do that? I don't know. He just throw a star up there if he needs to. We're too busy trying to figure out how God can't do it. And apparently they could identify it as the same star. I don't know, but they saw that star. They knew what it was looking at. I think we forget what God can do. Number 6. The Magi had a heart for God. They called him king, though they had never met Jesus. He said, where is he that is born king of the Jews? I think it's interesting. Herod, in verse 4, demanded of the scribes and the priests where Christ should be born. That means Messiah. The back of his brain, he said, wait a minute. This isn't that Messiah that's supposed to come, is it? There's a Messiah that's supposed to come. Where's he supposed to be born? In Bethlehem. Oh, Bethlehem. Well, you go find that kid. When you find him, let me know. They never knew who Jesus was, but they came looking for him as king. Watch this. They worshiped him. We have seen his star and have come to worship him. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. I think this is interesting. They believed Jesus was king even after they met him. Let's bring one of the kids over here out of the nursery. There's the king. Oh, we don't know yet. I mean, he might be, but we don't know. I mean, how much could Jesus really reciprocate the greeting? They gave gifts. All they knew really was the Word of God. And they found this baby that seemed to go along with the Word of God. They believed in God's Word and followed it. They went ahead and gave the gifts even after realizing that Jesus was still a small child. They couldn't see a king here. All they could see was that he might be a king one of these years down the road. But they had God's word, and that seemed to be enough. I wish it was enough. Number 7, the Magi stepped out in faith, and God protected them on their way. You know, sometimes that's tough. We're going to go where? We're going to go to Jerusalem. We're going to be out there in the midst where the marauders are. I mean, they're going to get us. No, we're sticking to King. And they left. Just to follow God's word. Well, that sounds a little risky. You got God's promise on it. It's not risky if you have his promise on it. They knew better than to go back to Herod. God gave them the discernment. Why? Because they were seeking God. And I think with all their heart, they wouldn't have gone so far. Lastly, they studied God's word, and in God's word, with the moving of the Spirit, they believed God's word and said, there's a king coming who's going to change everything. We've got to find him. So they pack up a caravan, a multitude of people, quite a trip. Probably as big a deal as Columbus getting on his ship. I mean, really. I mean, they didn't know. I mean, that was a big deal. Could very well have been, you know, a long time. And they make this trip. And they find, and they get to the very end. They didn't know what they were going to find. And they got to the city of Jerusalem. It wasn't right. But they got another clue. And then God gave them the star. And they went through all that. And what happened? They found the Lord. They found the Lord. Many people don't find the Lord because they're not willing to step out on what they know already from God's word. I'm not talking about salvation. I mean, you could talk about that, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking to you Christians here. Find what God wants. Find the goal that God was trying to bring you to. See, they found truth. They came face to face with God because they stepped out in faith in the word of God. What are you waiting for? There's something in your life that God's been telling you need to do. It may be something really simple. Something you need to stop, something you need to start. The Lord has made salvation clear, but we need to take it. If you're here this morning, you don't know Christ as your Savior. The word is, listen, God's word is even clearer about salvation than it was about the star. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wage of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, you feel like I'm going out on a limb. You want me to trust my whole eternity of what some baby came to earth and lived a perfect life and died a martyr's death and rose again the third day? You want me to trust that? Yep. You look at the word. Let it speak to your heart, you'll find it's true. Or are you too proud? Maybe we're too lazy. Maybe we're just not willing to take God's word on it. I think others have taken the gift of salvation, but they've refused to follow Jesus any further. Well, God's word's too ambiguous. It's too risky. It's too difficult. I may end up looking like a fool. The world may still call you a fool, even when God gives you the answer. If you want to be a follower of Jesus, you need to step out in faith in his word. Don't wait until you have all the answers for the entire road trip. God may ask you to leave your comfort zone and go where you've never gone before. But in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Seek him and you shall find him when you search with him for all your heart. The message of the Magi is simply take God's word on it, follow Him. Follow Him. Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts here this morning. Simple little message, but profound in many ways. We think about all these things and then we move on. Never really get off of our sofa and do something. These men left what they knew, searching for that king that was going to bring the light to the Gentiles. Simply following your word. May we do the same. Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts. Our heads are bowed and our